This is Wednesday, the 20th of January, 2010. I'm here at the Emmanuel Evangelical Mission Theological Seminary. We're teaching 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and this is the 9 o'clock session.
Our God and Father, we thank and praise Thee for Thy grace. We thank Thee for Thy words of Scripture, for the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and died in our place on the cross. Help us to be good Christian people, if we're saved and born again, living for Jesus, lives that are true. Help us in this class throughout this day. We pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. All right, what page were we on? Was it page 20?
20.
And page 17, or not, verse 17, all right? Page 20. So, 2 Chronicles 20, we stopped at verse number 17. All right. We just want to review that one verse one more. This has to do with a battle with Jehoshaphat and his enemies. Remember, Jehoshaphat had a good battle when the Lord won for him before. And then King Jehoshaphat was very evil in cooperating with wicked King Ahab. God judged him, and then Jehoshaphat repented and came back to the Lord. And he prayed in this coming up battle that the Lord would help him. And the Lord used the prophet Jehaziel in verse 14. And he said in this battle that he shall not need to fight in the battle. But you are to set yourselves, that is, keep quiet and still, and then stand still in verse 17, and then see and behold the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. So God is going to deliver them from these enemies, Moab and Ammon. What will be their attitude while they watch the Lord fight? Two things. Fear not. Don't be dismayed. Don't be dismayed. They will see the enemy coming, but they will see the Lord delivering them from that enemy. And then in verse 17 it says, tomorrow go out against them. In other words, the Lord did not want Joshua to stay in his own camp. So the enemy would come after him. The first thing he had to do was go out to the battle and go against them, for the Lord will be with thee. Now if Jehoshua had not believed the Lord, he would not have gone out against them. He was outnumbered. And if he had not believed the Lord, he stayed right at home, his place. So the Lord expects us, in faith, to go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. We must trust Him that He will deliver us and be with us. And so, in verse number 18, Joshua bowed his head. That's in subjection to the Lord. That's in humility. His face to the ground. Wouldn't he get his face dirty at the ground? But abject humility before the Lord. And not only the king Jehoshaphat bowed in the ground, but all Judah. All the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They fell before the Lord and worshipped the Lord. Now they hadn't yet won any battles. They worshiped the Lord believing he was going to deliver them. And he will deliver them. And then notice in verse number 19, the Levites and the children of the Kohathites, they stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with a loud voice on high. These were the spiritual leaders. The normal people bowed down to the earth. And the spiritual leaders, the Levites, stood up. So some bowed down, some stood up. But they all praised the Lord. And then in verse number 20, they rose up early in the morning. You see, when God says, rise up and go out, you do it immediately, early in the morning. You don't wait till noon or 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. Or after lunch, or after supper, but early in the morning. The whole Judah camp in Jehoshaphat believed the Lord was going to deliver them, and so they went out early in the morning. They went into the wilderness. No trees, no shrubs, just the wilderness out in the desert of Tekoa. And then in verse number 20, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and so shall it be established. Believe the prophets, so shall he prosper. We must believe the words of God. The words of God were given to us by his prophets. We must trust that what he said he will do. Now the people believed in the Lord because they rose up early and they went out with Jehoshaphat. He was repeating this to make sure that trusted perfectly in the Lord himself. Believing his prophets as well. The prophet that prophesied this in the earlier verses, verse 14, Jehaziel said that we'll be victorious. Notice in verse 21 what Jehoshaphat the king did. He appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the Lord in the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. I wonder what the heathen Moabites and Ammonites would think about these people coming out singing and praising the Lord. The enemy probably thought the people were crazy. What are their weapons? Just singing praises to the Lord. Where are their spears and their bows and their arrows and the weapons of war? But that was God's method of praising the Lord with singers and song. In verse 22, they sang praise to the Lord on instruments against the children of Ammon and Moab. Now notice in verse 23 how the battle went.
Uh,
Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir. And when they were fighting against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, notice in the last part of verse 23, everyone helped to destroy another. That was the method God used, was to have each other, each will kill each other. So Jehoshaphat did not have to kill them, they killed each other. And in verse 24, when Judah came toward the watchtower and the wilderness, the watchtower is a big tower to look out to see what's happened. They looked unto all the multitude of the Ammonites and the Moabites, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. In other words, the Lord defeated the enemy by the enemies killing off each other. Other times in Scripture that same thing happens. The Lord used to fight one another, kill off each other, so that the Lord's people did not have to fight them. And then in verse 26, they came to take the spoil, all the weapons and war, the things of value from them. Verse 25, And they had riches on the dead men, precious jewels, everything that was on these soldiers of Moab and Ammon. Notice in verse 25 at the end, there's so much to take away, the jewels and all the gold, that there were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. So not only did they defeat their enemies, but they took their riches and their gold and all that they had on their bodies. In verse 26, they had an assembly. The fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Bekaa. And there they blessed the Lord. Berakah is the name because that means blessed in Hebrew. Then in verse 27, they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem back to home. And with joy they went to Jerusalem, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. It was a miracle that God performed for Joshua and his people. They were filled with joy. And then notice in verse 28, they used psalteries and harps and trumpets and instruments of music. Now after this victory in verse 29, the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries round about them. They saw this defeat of the enemy. They feared God when they heard the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. They didn't dare go against Israel for fear the Lord would smite them and kill them as well. So in verse 30, the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. And verse 31 sums up Jehoshaphat's reign. He was reigning the king for 35 years. He was 35 years old when he began, and he reigned for 25 years in Jerusalem. So, 25 years of reigning, and he, notice in verse 32, he walked in the way of Asa his father. And it says, departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But we know that in some cases he didn't do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He compromised with wicked Ahab. But in general, his heart was right. But in verse 33, there's a downside mentioned here. Again, these high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the Lord, the God of their fathers. So this is repeated again, this not taking away the high places where they worshiped idols in those high places. And the people's hearts were still with the idols, and so they still had these high places to worship. And then in verse 35, after this did Jehoshaphat join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. You think Jehoshaphat would have learned his lesson not to join up with wicked, evil people? His heart may have been all right with the Lord, but still he had this evil, wicked self and flesh. Why didn't he learn his lesson from joining up with Ahab, that wicked king? Remember going out into the battle and with his full robes and almost being killed by the enemy. Remember 2 Corinthians 6:14. Stop being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? All these kings of Israel were evil. Those northern 10 tribes, evil kings. And Jehoshaphat, king of the south, the two tribes, should never have joined with any of the kings of Israel, like this Ahaziah. In verse 35, Ahaziah did not just do things wickedly, but he did things very wickedly. And so he joined with him in verse 36 to make ships to go to Tarshish. And then on page 22, verse 37, Eliezer prophesied against Jehoshaphat because of this venture with Ahaziah, the wicked king. He had to pay a price. And you and I also have to pay a price if we join with wicked things and wicked people. This prophet said, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works, and the ships were broken, they couldn't go to Tarshish. Well, yes, question, yes.
Chapter 20, verse 33. And chapter 17, verse 6. Is there a conflict?
17, verse 6, yes.
Yeah, about the high places.
All right, in chapter 17 and verse 6, Jehoshaphat took away the high places and groves. Apparently, in chapter 20, there were more high places and more groves that rose up. And perhaps those new high places and new groves He did not take away. Because he had 25 years of reigning. And many times other things rose up in the 25 years. But other questions or comments we have now. Yes, sir.
在那个约沙法和亚哈和亚哈谢的交往，他们好朋友。
This chapter 20 verse 35. Jehoshaphat and Ahaziah they joined together.
因为亚哈是亚哈谢的爸爸，所以
the father of Ahaziah.
所以这个他们这样子止息战争不是也是很好吗？
Isn't it a good thing that they join together and 他们跟谁
不是联合，就是说他跟南国跟北国。
Isn't it a good thing that you know the northern and the southern kingdom join together?
那不是 join together， 就是说他们有一些
make peace with each other。
对，所以说他们的人民不用再打仗，这也不是一件。
So there will be no more wars between the two.
那但是在37节那边是说，这边有那个先知向他说预言说，你和这个人交好，所以耶和华要破坏你所造的船。
And then the prophet in verse 37 says that you know if you join together, God will broken your work.
到底是？这样子，上帝是希望他们
分开的，
还是希望他们和好
？God's will is for them to join together or separate, go their own ways.
All right. When you join righteousness with unrighteousness, God says stop it. It's an unequal yoke.
那刚才所说的哥林多后书六章十四节。
The king has Jehoshaphat did not try to make Ahaziah better as a king. He still did very wickedly. Whenever you take a righteous king with an unrighteous king that does very wickedly, there's going to be serious things that are going to rub off onto the righteous king from the evil king. If I take a dirty hand, my right hand dirty, and the left hand clean, when I put the clean hand with the dirty hand, that makes the dirty hand clean? Does the clean hand make the dirty hand clean? Does it?
No.
But does the clean hand make the dirty hand clean?
No.
Does the dirty hand make the clean hand dirty? That's it. That's why God says stop being unequally yoked together with unbelievers and wicked people. Wait for the wicked people to become righteous people, then you can have fellowship. Otherwise, perhaps very dangerous. Yes, question, yes.
那我们不是要传福音吗？那如果跟不信的人隔开的话，我们怎么传啊？
How can we preach the gospel if we can, you know, meet the non-believers? You know, we can
meet the unbelievers, but we don't join with them in all of their foolishness.
我们不参与他们所做的那个愚蠢的事情。
The Lord Jesus went into the places where the publicans were. The wicked publicans that were thieves. He did not become a publican, he did not become a thief, but he preached to them and talked to them the scriptures. We must go into all the world, wicked in other words, and preach the gospel to every creature. But we must never make common cause with them and join forces and unite with those people closely. All right? Yes. Yes. Another question. That's fine.
就是那个他们的以色列人跟犹大的王， 他们都是有记载说都是上帝所拣选的嘛，那么他们是信上帝的吗？都是信上帝的。
The northern and the southern kingdom, all of them believe in God or what?
The northern and southern started out, right?
开始的时候是。
But even that's not true.
虽然是这样讲，但是也不是说完全是。
Because remember, the northern kingdom was Jeroboam.
那个北国是那个耶罗波安。
The southern kingdom, Rehoboam, the son of Solomon.
那个南国是罗波安，是那个所罗门的儿子。
And Jeroboam started being evil.
那个耶罗波安开始的时候已经是一个不好的
王。He put a false God in the north of his kingdom and the south of his kingdom, and they worship these false gods.
敬拜这些偶像。
And he made priests of the lowest of people, not the Levites.
他们没有叫那个利未人来献祭。
And he drove out all the Levites and the priests from the north into the south, just threw them out.
所以这些利未跟那个祭司们呢，他们就到南国去。
So he was.So he and his people were evil from the start. Unfortunately, they were very much evil. So they were not, they knew better, but they rejected the words of God. It would be good to have the north and the south united, like in King David. He had 10 tribes and 2 tribes together. King David.And even under King Solomon, north and south, 10 and 2 together, 12 tribes. So in a sense, they knew the kings, the words of God. They knew the kings, the words of God in the beginning. But they followed Jeroboam to make these golden calves in the north and the south, and they said, these are the gods that took thee out of Egypt.
然后在耶罗波安的时代呢，他们就造这个金牛犊，就在那边敬拜，说这个是你们的上帝带你们出
来。It didn't take long for that evil worship of calves to permeate and go through the whole northern 10 tribes.
所以因为他们这个敬拜偶像呢，就影响了整个北国。
And the good people left from the north and went to the south.
所以这些立位这些祭司们就离开北国到南国去。
Other question.
但是我想问说，如果用新约的角度来讲，这些王都是得救的，对吗？但是他后面后来。
So from the New Testament perspective, do you think these wicked kings are saved or no?
Do I think from the New Testament wicked kings are saved? No, I do not believe the wicked kings are saved. No, they're not. They did not follow the purpose that God gave to the Old Testament.The sacrifices were not proper because they threw out the Levites and the priests that alone were to make sacrifices to the Lord. They made priests of their own other people, just not Levites, not in the proper way. And so they did not have faiththat one day would come the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. They were unbelievers. And we would say that they would be lost people. Other question? Or comment? Yes, sir.
Chronicles 20, verse 35. Second Chronicles 20.35 about the the king was very wicked. Does it mean that he was more wicked than Ahab?
More wicked than Ahab?
More wicked than Ahab.
Translation?
It could be they were equally wicked. Just the words very wickedly.Would say a lot of things. And I think it just mentions that probably just as wicked as Ahab was, King Ahab. Ahab was probably more wicked because he had a wife called Jezebel who stirred him up. And Jezebel, that wicked queen, stirring up Ahab, made him even more wicked than anybody. When you have a wicked man, that's bad. When that man has a wicked wife to stir him up and make him even more bad, that's worse. So, other questions or comments? Alright, so because he yoked himself up, Jehoshaphat, with Ahaziah, the wicked king, they had a little business venture. They wanted to get some ships to take some things to Tarshish. In verse 36, they joined himself to make ships to go to Tarshish and Ezion Geber. And because in verse 37 he joined himself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken the works and broken the ships. Wonder how much money King Jehoshaphat had to pay for these ships. And all his money, all of his investment, gone. Just like the hurricanes would take things away, and earthquakes like in the recent earthquakes there in Haiti. Whole thing was gone. I hope Jehoshaphat now got the lesson again. If you do not learn from bad things, what's going to be next if you don't learn from these things? I thought he had learned the lesson from the wickedness of Ahab and the joining with Ahab. But he did not. On verse number 1 of chapter 21, Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was cremated, buried with his fathers in the day of David, king, in the city of David, and Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. He had brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah, and listed here. But the kingdom he gave to Jehoram, his main son. He was his firstborn. And then in verse number 4, when Joram was risen from the kingdom, he strengthened himself and slew all the brethren with the sword. Where did the son of Jehoshaphat learn to kill his brothers? Did he learn from King Ahab's alliance? Did he learn from this other Ahaziah's alliance? How can the son of a supposed righteous king, Jehoshaphat, be so wicked and murder? The evil of the heart of this young king was terrible, horrible. He didn't stop killing his own brothers in verse 4, but also different ones of the princes, the other leaders of Israel. And he was only 32 years old when he began to reign. In verse 5, he only reigned 8 years. Not 25 years like Jehoshaphat. Not 40 years like David. Not 40 years like King Solomon. I'm glad he only lasted 8 years. How could a murderer last even 8 years? Not that our president is a murderer. But he's been given 4 years so far. Then we have an election. If he wins that election, he has 4 more years. Total 8 years. That's all he could live, have as the president. Unless he declares martial law. If he declares martial law, he throws away the Constitution, he can live and reign forever. And he may just try to do that. Who knows? But this wicked, evil, murdering king only lasted 8 years, Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat. Yes? Question? Right. Oh, okay.
This one.
All right. So, see, he not only killed his own brothers, but also many of the princes, the leaders of Israel. He's 32 years old when he began, only 8 years. In verse number 6. Yes, sir.
Where did he learn this? Is there an answer for that?
No, that's a rhetorical question. We don't know. But when his father began fellowshipping with these two wicked men, who knows what wicked Ahab might have taught his father? Maybe the little boy was listening. And then again with Ahaziah, that very wicked king, maybe he was listening again. Maybe he saw how they worked their ways and what they did, and maybe he liked what they did. Maybe he liked what the wicked kings Ahab and Ahaziah did more than his father Jehoshaphat. Maybe he looked at them and said, well, they do better than my father, I'm going to go like they go. We don't know, that's a rhetorical question. But I'm wondering. Yeah, Mr. Wade.
I think the answer is in verse 6.
All right. Let's read verse 6 then. All right. But notice what it says. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab. He may not have learned to murder in by Ahab, but all the ways that he liked Ahab's ways. And that's the danger. When you as a mother or a father expose your children to evil, be careful. You may not be harmed by that evil, but the little children may be very much harmed. They do not have the discernment that we who are older have. And if we expose them to evil, they may follow the evil, not the good. That's why we read in the book of 2 John, if they come into your house, he that brings not this doctrine of Christ, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Bring not the doctrine of Christ, that is his deity, his virgin birth, his blood atonement. Different cults and false teachers many times knock on our doors. Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witnesses, and so on. 2 John says, any man that brings not this doctrine of Christ and the truth about the Lord Jesus, don't open the door, don't receive him into your house. Now you may be fortified against their evil doctrines if you know Christ and you know the Bible.
What about your little children that are here listening to this evil doctrine? They could be affected by that evil doctrine. Keep them outside, say, I'm sorry, no, I'm not interested in what you say, bye-bye. And this is what King Ahab maybe influenced this young king, Jehoram, because of his evil. He overheard the things that his father and Ahab were talking about. And verse 6, he walked, Jehoram walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab. And notice the rest of verse number 6, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. How did Jehoram meet his wife, the daughter of Ahab? Because his father fraternized and fellowshipped wrongly with Ahab. Probably went to Ahab's house and little Jehoram went with him. Met this wicked girl, the daughter of Ahab, a wicked king. She may have been beautiful. She may have been charming. But she was evil. And sometimes our young men are affected by beautiful women, even though they're evil women. And because of the compromises of his father, Jehoshaphat, he married this wicked woman, the daughter of Ahab, wicked king. Altogether, all the more reason why 2 Corinthians 6:14 must be followed. Stop being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel, an unbeliever? Therefore, in 2 Corinthians 6:17, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. This is right.
Do you think that daughter of Ahab was Jezebel's daughter?
Could be. Daughter of Ahab. The wife of Ahab was Jezebel. Entirely possible that wicked Jezebel begat wicked daughter. And Jehoram tied in with her and married that wicked daughter. Taught by a wicked woman, Jezebel. And I'm sure his wife influenced him, maybe, kill your brothers. Kill some of these princes, these leaders. They were advisors to your father, Jehoshaphat. He didn't know anything. Kill those princes, kill those advisors. A terrible thing was made when this marriage took place. If you value the words of God, be careful of at least two things. Whom you marry and whom your children marry. I realize you can't force your children in marriage, but you can train and teach your children the right way. I'm glad that our four sons and one daughter were Christians and saved. One son is with the Lord. Still have three sons living and one daughter. And they're all married, three sons, one daughter, married. They're saved, and they married saved wives and husbands. And we're very glad for that. We have eight grandchildren. And we have eight great-grandchildren. And we pray that the great-grandchildren and the great and the grandchildren will be saved, born again, and raised up for Christ. We can't influence adversity, but we can pray for our grandchildren and pray for our great-grandchildren. They may be saved and born again. But it starts with saved people marrying saved people. And with Jehoram marrying this wicked daughter of Ahab, serious problems developed in his ministry as a king. Notice also in verse number 6, he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. And he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Notice, in the eyes of the Lord. Probably many people around him didn't think that it was evil in the eyes of men and women. They thought nothing wrong with that. Go ahead. Kill your brothers. Kill your princes. I don't understand how people would think that was right. But in the eyes of the Lord, that's what counts. His eyes are upon all of us, not only our deeds, but our thoughts and actions. Nobody can escape from the eyes of the Lord. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Now notice in verse number 7, howbeit. Now that word is an important word. Howbeit. That means although all this happened, the Lord would not destroy the house of David. In the eyes of the Lord, Jehoram did such evil, the Lord could have destroyed the line of David because he was in the Davidic line, but he did not do that. In verse 7, because of the covenant, the agreement, the bargain that he had made with Israel and with David. He promised to give a light to him and to his sons forever. So in God's permissive will, he allowed Jehoram to stay as king. To give David a line that would not stop. Do you have a question now before we close for 10 minutes? Any other questions or comments? All right, take 10 minutes and we'll see you back. Take a break. Let's continue then. Oh, by the way, any other questions before we begin? Alright, we got a box today. Arrived. Good Health Supplements, that's the name of it. Remember I told you about the heart?
Yeah.
And it has the address, it has the name. Want to copy it down?
Yeah.
Yeah, afterward, yeah. Sedona, Arizona, that's where, from Arizona. And it's the Good Health Supplements, that's the name of the company. Good Health Supplements. And the phone number there, 928-303-9700. So that's arrived all right. So it'll be all right in good health. Be able to continue the class. All right. No problem. All right. We stopped, I believe, in what verse? Chapter 20, was it? 20?
Verse 7.
21, I guess it was. Was it 21? Verse 7. Okay. All right. So, notice he wouldn't destroy the house of David, the kingdom of David, the line of David.
Because of his promise. God keeps his promise. When he said, I will bless David's house and the sons forever, right down the line, he meant that. And the greater son of David was the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 8, in his days the Edomites revolted. Edom means red. Edom means red. The descendants of Esau. They revolted from under the dominion of Judah and made themselves a king. And notice verse 9, Jehoram, this wicked king, went forth with his princes and his chariots and smote the Edomites. So in verse 10, the Edomites revolted from the hand of Judah unto this day. Notice what he did in verse 11, this wicked king Jehoram. He made high places in the mountains of Judah. His father first destroyed some high places, then he left some high places up. So these high places, they continue to come up and up and up. These were places where they worshipped evil and heathen idols. And caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication and compel Judah thereto. In verse 11, committing fornication, sexual relations by unmarried people. Some of the practices of these heathen religions were sexual relations with the priests or priestesses of that religion. In the Baal religion, for example, they had male and female priests and priestesses of Baal. And part of their worship was to have the people come and have sexual relations with these priests and priestesses. And wicked Jehoram caused these high places to commit fornication, as it says here in this verse number 11. And compelled Judah thereto, made them do all of this. Where did he learn this wicked practice? Probably from his wife, the daughter of Ahab. Probably the daughter of Jezebel. Why did Jehoram come into contact with Ahab and Jezebel? Because of his father's wrong alliance and fellowship with the wicked king Ahab. Evil is propagated and continued and easily learned. People can learn to do evil easier than they can learn to do good. Any fish can float downstream. Even a dead fish can flow downstream.
It takes
a live fish to swim upstream against the flow. On verse 12, the Lord had pretty much enough of this wicked Jehoram. The Lord was filled with indignation against Jehoram and all of his deeds and wickedness in high places. So the Lord sent him a letter. In verse 12, a writing from Elijah the prophet.
So,
Remember Elijah, the great prophet that spoke against the wicked worshippers of Baal, the prophets of Baal. I don't know why it was a letter instead of Elijah himself coming and speaking. Maybe if Elijah had come personally, he may have slain Jehoram. I don't know. Maybe be so angry at Jehoram, he would yell and scream at him. See? So he wrote a nice little calm letter. And in verse 12, thus saith the Lord, God of David thy father. The writing of the letter, and Elijah spoke from the Lord. And if we preach the words of God, we must preach the words of God from the Lord. It's the Lord's words. We preach, thus saith the Lord. Because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa, king of Judah. Now, I realize Jehoshaphat did not have all good ways, and Asa did not have all good ways. Not 100%, but most of it was good, more than good than bad. I'm sure the ways here are the good ways. By understanding, it's the good ways of Jehoshaphat and the good ways of Asa. But, in verse number 13, thou hast walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, the 10 tribes to the north that were started by wicked Jeroboam. And it's made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go whoring like the whoredoms of the house of Ahab. This is a reference again to this fornication, the sexual immorality and Baal worship and other worship of heathen idols. And also because thou hast slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which were better than thyself. Now let's remember, Jehoram was the firstborn son of Jehoshaphat. But here, Elijah says, these other brothers that he slew were better than he was. And it's interesting, the evil slays the good. Like in the first murder in history, Cain, evil, slew Abel, righteous. And then in verse number 14, behold, with a great plague will the Lord smite thy people and thy children and thy wives and all thy goods. The judgment against this wicked king Jehoram, the murdering king, was a plague against himself, Judah, and the children. And thy wives, not just simply one wife, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, but many wives. Again, the king should not multiply wives unto themselves. And then also in verse 15, there was a special condemnation against wicked Jehoram the king. Thou shalt have great sickness by disease of thy bowels, and until thy bowels fall out by reason of the sickness day by day. God was going to smite this king with bad health, wicked, evil, and sickness that would come upon him. Notice also in verse 16, the Lord wasn't finished with his judgment of wicked King Jehoram. But he stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and the Arabians that were near the Ethiopians. So because of his wickedness, there was a plague, there was sickness, and he himself was sick, disease of the bowels day by day. Now the Philistines and the Arabians that were near the Ethiopians came in verse 17 and break up Judah, carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house. Took away the good things of Jehoram, his sons, he had sons and children with him, and his wives. So there was never found in the king's house a son left him, save Jehoahaz, the youngest of his sons. It's interesting that God smote this man's sons as he had killed his own brothers. Jehoahaz, the youngest of the sons, was the only one left. Then in verse 18, after this, the Lord smote him in the bowels with an incurable disease, probably cancer. Verse 19, after 2 years, his bowels fell out by reason of the sickness. He died of sore diseases. And notice it says the people made no burning for him like the burning of his father. Not that they cremated him. But you remember the last time we talked about the incense and the spices and the burning, the aroma. It would be beautiful at the death, so that the room would not smell of the death body, but it smelled beautiful smell. Didn't even do that for this man. So wicked he was. And then in verse 20, 32 years old was he when he began to reign. This is man there. Go ahead. And Jehoahaz, he just reigned for 8 years. He departed without being desired. When you and I die, will anybody care? Will anybody think I'm sad, or will they be glad to see us go? This Jehoahaz was so wicked, nobody desired him without anybody wanting him back. You know, they say about the kings of Egypt, the pharaohs, that were hated by his people. When the pharaoh died, here's what happened. Nobody would lament for the pharaoh because they hated the pharaoh. So he gave an order before his death to slay many, many people. Whenever he died, kill some more people. So there'd be a great mourning for those people that were slain. Not for him. So all Egypt would be very sorry for these other people. Nobody would be sorry for him. Horrible, horrible, evil thing, that's Pharaoh and his orders. And I hope that you will live for the Lord Jesus Christ, so that when you go home to be with Christ, if you're saved, you will not depart without being desired of anybody. But I hope that you will be missed. This is a horrible thing. An epitaph, something put on the gravestone of people after they die, called epitaph. And the epitaph of this king was, nobody desired him. Sad indeed. Howbeit, in verse 20, they cremated him. They buried him again. I'm sorry. Buried. Look it up in your concordance. I don't know how many times in the Old Testament, New Testament, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the sepulchres of the kings. He was wicked, they still buried him, but not in the king's sepulchre, a special place. They didn't want to associate even his dead body with the kings of Israel, of Judah.
I notice in chapter 20. Any questions before we move on to 22? Chapter 20. Yes, yes, ma'am.
One patient, here special mention, you know, these people doing a wicked thing and fornication.
Uh-huh.
And now with all these kings, with many wives and concubines, is that fornication?
Chinese?
因为我这地方说这个百姓行奸淫的事，你记不记得在这个经文里面？那我就说这些王有很多太太，有很多那个姨太太，就是那这些王是不是行奸淫？
With those that they had as far as the concubines, we wouldn't say in our country here that that's proper, but in the Old Testament, I would not say that would be fornication. But in the fields and in the high places, they committed fornication with the priests and priestesses. Not anything to do with the concubines or wives. That's the issue.
Yeah.
In our New Testament times, God says one husband, one wife, till death. I believe that's his standard today. And when the husband or wife dies, the mate is able to marry again after the death of the mate. And if the mate does not wait until the death of his mate, God then calls that adultery. So we have many people differing with us on that point. But in the Old Testament, apparently God permitted these many wives and concubines. I don't understand, but he just let the thing go, and that maybe because there are rural people that were in the fields and needed more people to till the fields. So they had to have 88 children to till the fields and to work. I don't know. But as the Lord Jesus said, it was not so from the beginning. That man should not be alone. One man, one woman, that is in the Garden of Eden. That was from the beginning. And that's why the Lord said that Moses said you could have divorce, but I say unto thee, so on. And he gives a different standard in the New Testament. Another question. Yes, sir.
Fornication, is it spiritual fornication
also?
Chinese. Sometimes fornication is physical. Sometimes it's spiritual, that is rejecting the Lord God of heaven. So it depends on context. Also sometimes adultery. Physical, sometimes spiritual, forsaking the Lord God. So we have to see the context of what it is.
In this chapter, in
this verse, chapter 21, verse 11,
Chinese? I believe since it's the high places, it quite might be physical fornication because of the practice of Baal and what they did. If you read and study the Baal religion, sexual intercourse was good as far as Baal is concerned. In fact, they teach the wicked thing that if you have sexual relations with the priest or priestess of Baal, that enhances your religion. That's part of your religion. Brings you closer to that wicked god of Baal. We don't agree with that, but in many cases, if this was the Baal religion, then it's physical. In other cases, it may be spiritual. Other questions? I think this gentleman had a question also.
About
the wives of Jehoram, it's in plural form, right? In verse 19 of chapter 21.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because in the Chinese it says it could mean just single.
No, why? Oh. Yeah. Now this is plural.
Yeah,
King James. Proper Hebrew. Hebrew text. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
One of the little things that the Chinese Bible maybe should change whenever they get around to it. 100 years. Any other questions before we go? All right. Chapter 22, is it? In page 23, I believe we got to 22. All right. So notice in verse number 1, they made Ahaziah, the youngest son, king over Israel instead of Jehoram. And notice the Arabians came and they slew all the eldest of Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, and so he reigned. So they slew all of the Jehoram's sons, and only Ahaziah was spared. He started at 42 years of age. That's when he began to reign. He only reigned 1 year. Yes, excuse me. You have a question over here.
In verse 1:22,
there
states
Ahaziah. Ahaziah. Ahaziah.
The youngest son.
Mm-hmm.
All his sons were killed.
Yes, except the youngest one. Except the youngest. Yes.
And then in chapter 22, verse 1, Ahaziah, his youngest son, became king. So those names differ.
Chinese? So the question is, the previous chapter 17, Jehoahaz, the youngest.
Yeah, but you know what? Even in the Chinese Bible, in verse 17 of chapter 21,
mm-hmm.
there's a footnote, and it's actually the right name.
Ahaziah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Chinese
is correct.
The
footnote.
They added.
The inhabitants made the youngest son king. What does 1 Kings and 2 Kings say? Do they have any information on 1 and 2 Kings? I don't know. I don't yet. Unless there were two youngest sons, the youngest and the youngest. Maybe they had two names. Could be.
Is it different spelling? Or
maybe different spelling, different name. A little different sounding. Could be two names. Maybe that was his middle name.
Or alien name.
Any other questions? All right. Okay.
It's an American name, all right? Instead of a Chinese name, American name, okay. Any other questions before we move on? All right, so Ahaziah, 42 years old, he began to reign in verse 2.
42岁分机.
And he only reigned for 1 year.
做王一年.
Because his mother's name was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri.
因为他妈妈名叫亚他利亚，是暗地的孙女。
Omri was one of the wicked, wicked kings of the northern ten tribes.
在北国的那个国王，暗地是一个很不好的一个国王。
And Athaliah learned from Omri how to be wicked. As we said before, it's easier to learn to be wicked than it is to learn to be right. And so this explains a lot of things. He only was good for 1 year. Notice also in verse 3, he also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab.
三节，他也行亚哈家的道。
For his mother was his counselor to do wickedly.
因为他母亲给他主谋，使他行恶。
It says in Scripture, honor thy father and thy mother.
在圣经中说，你要孝敬父母。But
when thy mother is wicked, don't follow your mother.
但是如果你的母亲做错事呢，就不要随他。
If your father is wicked, don't follow your father.
父亲做不好的事，也不要跟随他。
And this young man followed his mother's advice and walked in wickedness. No wonder he only reigned for 1 year. Too bad he even had 1 year of his reign. Notice the word, verse 4, the word wherefore. In other words, because of all this, because of his mother's counseling to do evil, because of that, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab. For they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. If you follow someone that's going into a garbage pit, you will go into the garbage pit yourself. If you follow someone that's going over a big cliff, you will go over that same cliff. Don't follow the wrong leaders. The following of the leadership of the house of Ahab was wicked and was wrong. Notice verse 8, he walked also after the council and went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Syria. So he did like one of the kings before him, Jehoshaphat and others, and went to war with a wicked king of the northern ten tribe, Israel. He should never have joined forces with that wicked king. So here was two wicked kings, wicked king of the south, wicked king of the north. But the king of the south should have known better. He had good upbringing in his father's, grandfather's, and great-grandfather's case. Now notice in verse number 6, he returns to be healed in Jezreel because of the wounds which were given to him in that battle. Wicked Ahaziah went with wicked Jehoram, son of Ahab, to war, and he got wounded in that war. And in verse 6, he came back with his wounds to see Jehoram because he was sick at Jezreel. In verse number 6, he returned to be healed at Jezreel because of his wounds. And notice verse 7, the destruction of Ahaziah was of God.
亚哈谢去见约兰就被害了，这是出乎上帝。
In the book of 1 John, it talks about the sin unto death.
约翰之书有讲到那个罪以致死。
There is a sin unto death. I say you should not pray for that sin.
不要。
Sin unto physical death.
这个是肉体的死亡。
And sometimes God inflicts a sin unto physical death to judge that particular person.
因为借着这样来刑罚他。
For instance, in the New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira committed a sin unto physical death. They lied unto the Holy Spirit. They sold their land and they sold it for so much, but they lied to the apostles, thinking that was all the price of the land. They held back some, which was their privilege if they wished. But if they held back some of the price, they should not have said, this is all of the price. They lied to the Holy Spirit of God, and God slew them. Ananias first, the husband. Then when Sapphira, his wife, came in, she told the same lie. Yes, we sold it for so much, even though it was much more. Sold it for just so much. And he said, the people that took your husband away are here to carry you away. They took her away and buried her. Did not cremate her, buried her. Okay. So notice in verse 7, the destruction of Ahaziah was of God. God killed him. There's always so much God can take from people when they sin and sin and sin. He's more gracious than some of us are. He's more long-suffering than some of us are. We probably would have cut him off in the first month of his reign. God let him go for 1 year. And the destruction of Ahaziah was of God by coming to Joram. So when he was come, in verse 7, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. In other words, King Jehu was to cut off all the different people that lived and were descendants of wicked Ahab. And so in verse number 8 came to pass when Jehu was executing judgment upon the house of Ahab. He found his princes in Judah and the sons of brethren of Ahaziah, the minister of Ahaziah. He slew them. In verse 9, he sought out Ahaziah and they caught him, for he was hid in Samaria. And they brought him to Jehu, and when they had slain him, they buried him. Because he is the son of, again, a descendant. Remember, son, sometimes his descendant, son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart. Notice, because wicked Ahaziah was in with the king of Ahab, the king of Judah, of the north of Israel, and Jehu was killing the house of Ahab, he killed Ahaziah also. He was joined so close to Ahab that when they were killing Ahab's people, they killed him too. That's why it says in the book of Revelation, chapter 18, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of their wickedness and evil. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, chapter 6, and verse 17, wherefore come out from among the bees, separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing.
就是哥林多后书的六章十四节这样说。
Because when we're in with the unclean people, and God wants to judge the unclean people, He's going to get us too.
So, 上帝惩罚那个不义的人，那么我们也受影响。
When the one prophet was there to slay the Baalites, the Baal worshippers,
那个先知来杀这些敬拜巴利的人。
He said, "Now all you Baal worshippers, get into the Baal's temple."
这些拜巴利的人就进那个巴利的那个
And he said, are any of you following the Lord God?
谁要跟随主呢?
Leave that temple. Stay away.
要离开那个巴利的那个殿。
Just the wicked prophets of Baal in that temple.
只有那些拜巴利的人在那个他的殿。
And when all that were in that temple were just the Baal worshippers, they slew them all.
把全部把他杀死。
If any of God's people would be in there, they would have been slain also. We dare not be unequally yoked together with these unbelievers. When God judges the unbelievers, we are judged too. And that's what happened to this king Ahaziah. He was with Ahab's group. When they slew Ahab's group, they slew him too. But it was of God in verse number 7. Notice now verse 10. We have a woman that's going to reign over Judah, the southern kingdom. Her name was Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah. And she was the one that was the daughter of Omri. Notice in verse 2, Athaliah, the daughter of Omri, which was a wicked king of the north, the 10 tribes of the north. And so when she saw her son was dead, in verse 10, she rose up and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. Murderous. She was a murderess. She learned that from other people that murdered people, killed off the sons and so on. This woman wanted to be the chief cook and bottle washer, as they say. which means that she wanted to be the prominent one in the kingdom and be the queen. And so to be the queen, she had to kill off all the men. If she were living today, she would be called a woman's liberationist. The woman's liberationist, supreme, down with the men, only the women. That's what they say. And so she killed off all the men so she could be the queen or king, call him what you will, of Judah. Notice in verse 11, there's a woman by the name of Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king. And when Athaliah was slaying and killing all of his sons, she took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain. So Jehoshabeath was used of the Lord to spare little King Joash. Otherwise, Athaliah would have slain him too. She put him and his nurse in a bedchamber in verse 11. So Jehoshabeath, the daughter of the king Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah. Well, she was the wife of Jehoiada the priest. We're going to see Jehoiada a little bit later as we read. She was the sister of Ahaziah. She hid him from Athaliah so that
She slew him not, there in verse 11. Notice in verse 12, little Joash was hid in the house of God 6 years. And Athaliah, this wicked woman, reigned over the land. Just 6 years she reigned, but that was long enough. And after the 6 years, in verse number 1, chapter 23, verse number 1, and in the seventh year, Jehoiada strengthened himself. He was the priest. He took the captains of hundreds and Azariah the son of Jeroboam and all these other things and gathered the Levites in verse 2. Notice in verse 2, he gathered the Levites out of all the cities of Judah. Remember, the Levites had 48 cities throughout all the 12 tribes of Israel. And their purpose was to teach the people the words of God. So he gathered them together, all the cities of Judah, the chief of the fathers, and came to Jerusalem. And verse 3, all the congregation made a covenant, an agreement with the king in the house of God. He said, "Behold, the king's son shall reign." In other words, little Joash would be the one that would be reigning. He was not to be slain. He didn't get killed by Athaliah. As the Lord said of the sons of David there in verse number 3. And then in verse 7, over on page 24, in verse 7, the Levites shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapon in his hand. Now this little king Joash was to be surrounded by the Levites with swords and weapons to protect him from Athaliah. And notice also in verse 7, whosoever comes into the house, he shall be put to death. But be ye both with the king, rather, when he cometh in, when he goeth out. The Levites, the men of God, were to protect King Joash. And then in verse number 8, the Levites and all Judah did according to the things that Jehoiada the priest had commanded. So Jehoiada the priest had some sense and some wisdom and some determination to do God's will. Notice in verse 9, Jehoiada the priest delivered to the captains of hundreds spears and bucklers and shields. They had been King David's, which were in the house of God. And notice verse 10, he said, all the people, every man having his weapon in his hand. And so they defended King Joash, the little king, against Athaliah, so that he would not be slain. And notice in verse number 11. Then they brought out the king's son and put upon him the crown and gave him the testimony and made him the king. The testimony, the words of God, the covenant of the scriptures. And Jehoiada in verse 11 and his sons anointed him and said, God save the king.
Yes.
Question.
Verse 11.
they gave him a testimony, a copy of the law.
Copy of the law. Chinese?
Okay.
Yes. So that it would have the word of God to govern his people. Now that word God save the king. Literally, may the king live long. May the king prosper. What does the Chinese say? What does the Chinese say? Verse 11, the last couple of words.
Hail the king, or, you know, may you have more years to
come. Yes, yes, yes. That's literally what it is. May the king live long. The King James Bible was translated by those in England.
An
expression in England in 1611, even today, God save the king.
It
was an expression that may the, he be saved and delivered and continued long, long years. So that's what that more literally means, and so that was expression used, and so it means the same, may the king live long. And then notice in verse 12, Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king. Do you suppose Athaliah liked what she heard? Do you wonder why she was concerned? And she looked at verse 13. Behold, the king stood at the pillar at the entry end of the, and the princes and the trumpets by the king.
第十三节，看见王站在殿门的柱旁，百夫长和吹号的人，势力在王左右。
And notice the last part of verse 13, Athaliah rent her clothes and said, treason, treason.
三节后半，亚塔利亚就撕裂衣服，喊叫说，反了，反了。
She wanted to be the queen and continue to be the queen, and why is this little Joash going to be the king?
他要想做女王，为什么这个小儿子，这个约阿斯要做王呢？
He called the people traitors and treasonous. And notice in verse 14 what Jehoiada the priest did. He brought out the captains of hundreds that were set over the host and said unto them, have her forth of the ranges, and whoso followeth her, let him be slain with the sword. Take her out and kill her, and everybody that follows her, kill them as well. But slay her not in the house of the Lord. So in verse 15, they laid hands on her when she was coming to the entering of the house of the Lord in the horse gate. And they slew her there. So she didn't last too long. Maybe 6 years as queen. Notice in verse 16, Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people. And between the king, that they should be the Lord's people. Notice verse 17, what they did to the house of Baal. All the people went to the house of Baal, they break it down, they break his altars and his images in pieces, and slew Mattan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. You wonder why Jehoiada the priest was so prominent here. But Joash was still a young boy, and so Jehoiada was acting in the king's behalf. And in verse 18, Jehoiada anointed the officers of the house of the Lord by the hand of the priest. And he rejoiced with the singers in verse 16 and set the porters in the gates, and none was unclean that should enter into it.
In verse 19,
none which was unclean in any way should enter into the house of the Lord.
又设立守门的，把耶和华殿里各门无论为何事不洁净的人都不准进去。
And notice verse 21, all the people of the land rejoiced.
21节，国民都欢乐。
The city was quiet, and they had slain Athaliah by the sword.
和城都安静，众人已将亚他利亚用刀杀了。
Okay, we'll take 10 minutes down, we'll come back. Take a break.